Okay, this is our seventh session of Create Your Best-Selling Author Career Program. We are back to the phone.
Yeah.
Kind of like the beginning.
Yeah.
And, okay, so we'll do a brief check-in with everybody. I would like to keep it kind of brief and then go over a few things. I did email you a rundown of pretty much what we've covered, but I wanted to kind of go over that, what we've covered and where we're going, and then to actually cover a few things today with you. But let's have a brief check-in, just where the two of you are at this point, and you know, and what you've accomplished in the last 2 weeks.
I'll go real quick. I uploaded the new book onto Amazon, and took me forever. I put a recording that can be downloaded at the end of the book. Got that all set up and sent it to people to review. So I've got 2 reviews right now, and then 8 other people said they would do reviews for me. So once I get those done, then I will start trying to promote it. And then I'm going to be doing some more recordings, putting together a course on personal transformation based on the Bible and current research. So those are the main things I've done.
Great. Good. Lots of good progress.
Good. So I had a shift in my attention, and I was telling a friend, they asked me how my writing was going, and I went on and on about my fiction book, which is like almost finished. And after that, I realized I've got a tremendous amount of enthusiasm and for that book, and it's basically almost done. And I had been focusing on writing the nonfiction book, but after that, I just said, no, it's time to run with this, because of in Woot, you know, the last one is tenacity, and that tenacity, I think, can come from that enthusiasm. And I don't have that same level of progress or enthusiasm for the nonfiction book. So I have made a shift in my attention, and I'm writing out now a detailed plan for the next 6 months on building my platform for the fiction book and finishing that and publishing that and launching it by October 12th. So that was the biggest change here. I will continue with the other project, but my plan now is to run with this first book that's almost done. And then as I'm doing, you know, re-enlivening social, you know, the website and all that stuff, the social networking, the platform, since the book is very close to being done. So that was a big shift, but it's created some enthusiasm, and so my Woot level is a little bit higher. And that's the biggest change for me.
Okay. Well, that's a big one.
Yeah.
So are you planning to finish the business plan for, I mean, what are you doing with your business
plan?
Yes,
now I need to formalize the business plan for that. But when I was doing the exercises again, I think as a sign of this, I was doing it for both books, but for the fiction book, I went on and on and on much more than for the nonfiction book. So I have much more of the homework done for the fiction book than the nonfiction. Does that answer your question?
You have more homework done for which one?
For the fiction, the one that I'm excited about.
Oh, okay.
So I've actually done much more work for that book in terms of this course than for the nonfiction.
Okay.
So I think it's something I can finish much faster.
Okay. All right.
So that's where I'm at.
Okay.
And I can still work on the nonfiction, but the goal, you know, when there are gaps in the fiction. But I want to finish something.
Yeah, well, that's important to finish.
And that could give me momentum for the next one.
Okay. Anything else anybody wants to bring up before we delve into some other things? Any questions or concerns?
No, I'm just working on the stuff we talked about in our laser coaching time. So whenever you're ready to roll, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Okay. Okay. So, all right. So we've covered, we actually, whether you realize it or not, and hopefully when you looked at the email, if you did look at the email, you saw we've actually covered a lot, because at this point you've, whether you've done the coursework or not online, we have passed the point where you should have finished the whole Author Training 101 course, Craft Books to Sell. And so that took you through a lot of what we've already discussed, you know, here in our sessions. And that included that your big mind map, you know, with your passion, purpose, values, topics, themes, which was meant to help you mind map your career, right? So, and that all of that is still online for you if you need it. As you worked through author training, you know, we started with the big mind map, of course, which was, you know, separate from Author Training 101, actually. So we started there, and we're going to come back to that near the end of the course to look at it again. But you should keep that in mind as you're moving through your work at all times. And then with Author Training 101, hopefully you have gone through and you've written a pitch and a book summary and a list of benefits for that overview, and that you got some clarity on your subject and you know, the value that you're providing to readers. Hopefully you went ahead and you conducted a market analysis, which was week 3, and in week 4, hopefully you conducted your competitive analysis. Week 5 would have been, or not would have been, was honing your idea. So that was actually getting really clear on how your idea was unique and necessary in its category, and targeting the needs and wants of your ideal readers by actually brainstorming the book and coming up with your table of contents and all of that. And I know, you know, Mark, you were already pretty far along and have more than one book going. Then in week 6, that was actually refining the content and the structure of the book. And week 7 was supposed to be finishing up that business plan. And I know at that point neither one of you really had done that. But do think about finishing up that business plan, because that was what the course was all about, really was, well, not all about, but, you know, the first part of the course, those first 2 months were about creating the business plan for your book. You have on the site now the how to traditionally publish a home study course. Well, actually, how to publish home study course, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. And there's tons of information there about different publishing options, traditional, hybrid, and self-publishing. And I know, Mark, you're already self-publishing, and Rolf, you plan to be a publisher. So there's some good information there that I think both of you will get some good use out of. And I wanted to touch on that just to see where, you know, what you all might need with that, but we're going to come back to that. And then week 8 was putting that platform in place and building your and you had the Building Engaged Platforms and Communities course, which has a ton of interviews in it with different people about not only platform building but book marketing. And so I hope that you'll take the time to look at that if you haven't already. Then, beyond those first 8 weeks, in week 9 and 10, we were moving into writing your book. So you may or may not have noticed that on the site you got the High Performance Writer course and the Write a Short and Long Book Fast courses. So this is all about how you actually get your books written. And again, I'm going to come back to that a little bit later. Okay, and then the last 2 weeks, I had Mark and I talked last week about promotion and platform building. We did a lot on promotion. We did go back to competitive analysis and some other things, but despite the fact that, you know, we were moving into the time when you really should be writing, Mark's already publishing pretty much, but this was the writing period, and now, Rolf, you'll be moving into finishing your novel. I really wanted everyone to focus on building that platform. Mark, I know you've been blogging like crazy, and you had decided to cut back a little bit, actually. But so on the site, you actually have the you have a couple different courses there. You have the community building engaged communities course, and it has a workbook in it, and I'm trying to think if there's something else. I think that's the big one for that section. So I wanted you to make sure that you looked at that and that you listened to some of those interviews while you're thinking about how you're going to promote your books, because there's really a ton of great information in there on that. So that brings us up to where we are now, which is week 13, 14. And we're halfway through. We have 3 months remaining. And what we'll be doing for the remaining part of the course is, you know, you will be, Rolf, you'll be finishing up. Mark, I know you have your book and you have other books because you're working on shorter books. Again, we'll be finishing up any business plans that aren't done. If you want to submit for agent review, you can do that. We will discuss, as I said, anything that still needs to come up about publishing paths. Today we're going to discuss the writing a book fast. As we go on, like week 15, 16, we're going to, you know, every week we'll be touching on progress on your books, progress on your marketing plans, all of that kind of thing. But in week 15, 16, so that's our next session, we'll be talking more about blogging and website essentials, and you'll be getting the rest of the Blogging for Authors course. There's one section missing that is mine, but there are two interviews up there already for you to look at. And we're going to be start talking about building a business around your blog. This is a big topic, building a business around your blog and around your book. And so we're going to talk about that through week 18, because there are just so many different things you can be doing, and I want to brainstorm those with you. And, Rolf, even with a novel, you can start thinking about, you know, whether there's anything you could be doing online for it, but, you know, you can apply whatever you're learning to the nonfiction book as well. And then the last 4 weeks, we will continue to discuss anything that we need to around building the business around your books, and we're also going to talk about branding. There's a very short course on branding with Dori Clark. She's phenomenal, and I suggest you listen to that early at any point, but we'll focus on it then. And if, you know, unless there's a reason that we end up focusing on it earlier. But I think by that point in the course, you know, that last week, the last 2 weeks, week 22 and 23, I plan to go back to the big mind map and see where we are and see how much clarity you guys have gained on that big mind map and your careers and all of that. And I think that's a good time, you know, right before that to be thinking about branding, and because I think you'll be able to get a lot of clarity at that point. So that's where we've been and where we're going. Any questions about that?
So are you saying we should look at that branding or listen to that branding talk right away, or to wait a little bit?
I think if you feel you have enough to do, you can wait for it. What I was saying was that you should probably listen to it by week 17, which is about 4 to 6 weeks as we're finishing up. But if you feel like you're working on branding now, I mean, if either one of you feels like you're working on branding now and you're working on your website, that sort of thing, then by all means listen to it now.
Okay.
My thought was that as we, you know, finish talking about building a business and those kind of things, the last pieces are going to start falling together for you. But that doesn't mean you can't listen to it whenever you want. But I don't think we'll talk about it till then, unless one of you really has some questions about it earlier, in which case we will.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, thanks.
Okay, so today I wanted to just touch base on, because we haven't talked about these, you know, there's so much content now on the site, and so I just wanted to touch base on the information about publishing paths, because while both of you seem to be pretty set on which way you're going, I just wanted to make sure that there weren't any questions that I could answer for you about self-publishing or hybrid publishing or traditional publishing or anything along those lines. And I know, Rolf, as I said, that you're planning to set up a publishing company and be publishing not just for yourself. And Mark, you seem to have set up your own publishing company for yourself already and are moving in that direction. But I just wanted to talk about this for a minute because we haven't. I don't recall spending a lot of really focused time on this.
Is it?
I'm open. You know, I'm still open to having a traditional publisher, if it seemed, you know, like a great deal. But I'm not open to maybe waiting forever for that. So I'm going in the other direction. But I'm open to hearing what you have to say.
Well, one of the things I can do is I can lay out for you, which is, this is what I do very often for people, is I lay out the pros and cons of going in whichever direction. And I don't think we've done that, have we?
No, I don't think so.
Would you like me to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Mark, that work for you?
Yeah, I just had one quick question. Is it worth trying to even consider the regular publishing route if your list isn't very big yet, if your following isn't very big?
It depends on the size of the publisher. And you're very motivated and, you know, the amount you've been blogging and that sort of thing, they're going to look at that and see that you are, they're going to see that you are serious about helping promote your book.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say that it's not something to try because, as I said, the big publishing houses are probably not going to take you without a big list because you're doing nonfiction.
Yeah.
But, you know, or without a big following of some kind. But the smaller publishing houses might. And the kind of books you're writing might be more well-suited to small to mid-sized publishers anyway.
Okay.
But, you know, how long did you write, what was it, 5 posts, 3 posts a day?
I've been writing 3 posts a day for, I don't know, 4 months. I don't know, something like that.
And what has happened with your traffic during that time?
It's gone up some, but it's still pretty small. So I haven't known how to do backlinks very well, and now I'm reading that's kind of important. But anyway.
Well, they're getting less important, so I wouldn't be worried too much about that. But do you know what your how many unique readers you have per day at this point?
I haven't checked it in a week or so, but it's still real small, like only like 20 or 30.
All right. And are you sharing on the social networks?
I put it on Twitter fairly often, and I put it some on Facebook. When I put it on my Facebook page, not many people see it or comment on it, but that's what I do right now.
Okay. And do you have a Pinterest account?
Yes, I do. I haven't figured out how to do that one yet, though.
All right. Well, that's another thing we could do sometime. You know, it's easy enough for me to do a screen sharing with you guys.
Okay.
And to show you how to do some of those things.
That'd be
and
very
I'm happy
helpful.
To do that.
I opened Pinterest, but I didn't really get into it.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's very easy for me to show you how to do that kind of stuff with a screen sharing.
Yeah,
all right,
that'd be great.
Yeah, so we can definitely
anything
do
like that,
that
you could help us with building our platform would be fantastic.
Yeah, that's not a problem. We can definitely do that. Matter of fact, we can, you know, we can do that next. I mean, all the stuff I talked about, there's plenty of time in every one of those sessions to talk about those topics and still do other things. And mostly I want to help, you know, cater the course to what you need. So so that's not a problem.
Okay.
And with so few people doing screen sharing, I have this easy screen sharing thing where I just send you a link and you pop on and I screen share. So
good.
Anyway.
Yeah, I think that'd be very practical.
Okay. So in terms of publishing, here is the rundown, basically. If you want to traditionally publish, all right, well, let me – well, okay, so I have to remember to keep fiction in there, too. So if you want to traditionally publish, first of all, what you have to remember is what you're doing is you are approaching it's as if you are an inventor almost, and you have an idea and you want a backer for that invention. Or think of it like, you know, here in Silicon Valley, all the different startups. And, you know, somebody gets an idea for a startup, and they need to go to the venture capital partners to look for money to back their project, right, to get the company off the ground. That's basically what you're doing. You're saying, I have the idea for a book. It's a product. A book is a product, and I need the financial help and a partner, basically, who can help me get this product to market. So the publisher is the venture capital partner, who also has the ability to produce your product and distribute it. And so what they're looking for is not just a good book idea. They're looking for good business partners. They're looking for people or writers who can, you know, come to them with a marketable idea, an idea that will sell. And that's what they evaluate. The business plan, which is a book proposal, is what they use initially to determine if the idea is marketable. But it also helps them look at you to determine if you are a good business partner. And part of what they look at is your bio and your platform and the marketing plan, because those three things go together to show whether or not you're going to help sell your book once it's produced. So they're looking at all of this. The competitive analysis becomes very important because they're looking at that. They're looking at the books you've come up with, and they may find some of their own. If they're really serious. But they look at that, and then they have the means to find out how many copies of those books sold. So they're going to see whether those books you chose as competition actually sold a lot of copies. And if they did, then that shows, you know, that indicates a market for your book. So this is all the stuff they're looking at. Now, for a novel, they're less interested in the platform, and even in the marketing plan, because they don't necessarily expect novelists to come with it. And even the bio, I mean, they just need to know that you have a good, you know, marketable book idea and that you can write really well. That said, in today's market, if you come to the table with an idea that is just as good as somebody else's idea and writing skill that is just as good as somebody else's writing skill, but you present them with a business plan, a book proposal, and in that book proposal, you show how your book is unique and necessary in the category, how it's targeted at a market, and you also indicate that you are a good business person because you have built Author Platform and you have created a marketing plan for this book. Who do you think they're going to take?
Help me.
Right. They're going to take you because you are a good business person as well as a good writer with a good, you know, with a marketable idea. Right? Because between the two, if the two books are really similar and the writing is very similar, they want the good business partner. So even as a novelist, this is going to give you a leg up Now, for nonfiction, with a traditional publisher, you have to have a platform. Now, I say that, but as I said earlier, small publishers require less of a platform, mid-sized publishers a little more, hybrid publishers, you know, so there are hybrid publishers where, like, I interviewed Terry Whalen for your course, and I can't think of the name of his, he is with, I'm just getting the name of the company. He's with, I can't think of the name of the company. I have it right here, but I can't, it's not coming up. Anyway, if you go with a hybrid publisher like them, any number of hybrid publishers, you may get a deal where, you know, you're paying some money up front. And so because it's, you're paying some money, but they are working like a traditional publisher. It's not a subsidy publishing house where you're paying a lot of money and it's their imprint, not yours, and it's lousy edit. You know, you're paying them for editing and design and all that stuff, you know, but you're paying it in a package or whatever. I mean, that's a little different, and their name's going on the cover. If you go with a hybrid publishing house, their name is probably going to go on the cover, their imprint, but they're basically just saying, give me a little, you know, the money to help us produce the book, and we will then, you know, you'll get royalties right away, or you'll get larger royalties, or, you know, there are all kinds of hybrid publishing deals. But a lot of these function more like traditional publishing houses in that they have distribution and they're getting you into the bookstores, whereas a subsidy house, like, which basically is a vanity publisher, like Author House or any semblance of Author House, you know, because there's so many Ex Libris and all of these, they are not going to get you into a bookstore. That's the difference. In any case, all the hybrid publishers, the small publishers, and some of the mid-sized publishers will care less about platform for a nonfiction book, but they still need it. And you're still going to them, basically asking for them to help back your book and get it to market. The big publishing houses require a lot of platform, and it's much harder to get a novel published with a big publishing house. Okay. Hybrid publishing, as I mentioned, can take a lot of different forms. It is a way to go. Sometimes it can be very fast. Terry Whalen's company, which it's really bothering me that I can't think of the name of it. Anyway, if you listen to his interview, you will hear that they don't even, they will look at the idea and they'll initially look at the writing, but after that, they leave the editing up to you. You have to bring them an edited manuscript, and they never look at it again. Mm. So it's up to you to bring them a professional quality manuscript. There are other hybrid publishers that isn't the case. If you were to go, if you were a woman and you were to go to She Writes Press, it's very similar in that you're paying them a fee, but they do the editing, they do the design, they distribute your books into the bookstore, and you get royalties right away because they didn't give you an advance, basically, because an advance is an advance on sales, basically an advance on predicted sales. But at She Writes, they are purchasing books only on quality. They are looking for quality of idea and quality of writing. So, see, every hybrid is different. There is another kind of hybrid, and that is a hybrid author, like I am, which is where you're self-publishing and traditionally publishing, so just to confuse matters. So then we go back to self-publishing. And self-publishing, as both of you probably know, let me backtrack. If you self-publish, what you're doing is you are opening your own publishing company. And what that means is you are managing a team of editors and designers and maybe formatters and proofreaders and indexers and any number of things. And so you have to like doing that. You also have to be willing to risk your own money. But with traditional publishing, somebody else is taking the risk, right? The publisher is backing you financially, so it's their financial risk. But if you self-publish, it's your financial risk. On the other hand, you stand to make more money because you aren't paying, you aren't giving any percentage to anyone else except maybe Amazon, or Smashwords or someone like that, but it's a very small percentage, and so you're making way more money, and you have the control, and you can go to press faster and all of that. But it's all up to you, and not everybody likes to take that risk, and not everybody likes to be a project manager. And so I just always, talk about this because not every writer wants to be a publisher. There are a lot of writers who just want to write, and for them, hearing how self-publishing is so easy is misleading because while it is easy, it's very time-consuming. And while it is cheap, it's not without expense. So the other thing to know are that with self-publishing, your book will not be in bookstores. If you do it through Ingram Spark or someone like that, you can have it, in the catalog so stores can order it, but it won't be placed in the stores unless somebody actually goes in a store and asks to have it ordered. And the other thing is that while self-publishing has gained a much better reputation over the last 5 or 10 years, there is still something that I would say not necessarily so much for novelists, but for nonfiction authors, I do believe strongly that when you have a traditional publisher behind you, people look at you and your book differently. And if you want to be seen as an expert in your field, there is something to be said for traditional publishing. Yes, you lose money and control and all those sorts of things, but you have a traditional publisher behind you, which gives you some kind of clout or credibility in the eyes of many people. So that's really the rundown. Questions?
No, I think you covered it real well. Thank you.
You're welcome. Rolf?
Yeah, that was good. I'm satisfied.
Okay. And I'd encourage you to, try it if you think that that's something you'd want. And don't wait because, actually, if you self-publish, and this is a big mistake, a lot of people are told to self-publish first. But the fact of the matter is if you self-publish first and don't do well, if the book doesn't sell a tremendous amount of copies very quickly, you will not get picked up by a traditional publishing house. They will see that as a failure, that your book is not marketable. So if you want to go the traditional publishing route or you want to try it, try that first. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
And basically, based on what you said, it could mean that the book actually could be great, but you're as a business person, you're not cutting it.
Exactly. Yeah. And it isn't that the publisher that the publishers are going to do a whole lot of marketing for you, but you do get into the stores, which helps a little, and to be honest, in any case, Rolf, if you don't have a platform and you aren't willing to market your book is not going to do well. Mm-hmm. But there is a lot that a traditional publisher can give you in terms of expertise. It isn't that they don't make mistakes. I heard my publisher, Writer's Digest Books, I heard the publisher talking about one particular book where he really feels like the book didn't do well because of the title that they gave it. I mean, the author came to them with the title, but they kept it, and in retrospect, he said he thinks that it didn't sell well because of it. So they can make mistakes too, but in general, you're getting a team of people, including salespeople, who are very, very knowledgeable and, you know, will direct you towards the best cover, the best title, all of those things. And the, you know, if you get good editors, which you don't always, but if you get good editors, you get, you know, your book will benefit from that. And I mean, you know, we had some trouble with the subtitle on the author training manual, and we're going to change it on the next printing. So, you know, but not every publisher will do that. But again, you know, if you're going into this and you don't feel this is your area of expertise, then that help can be pretty nice. They also go to the book buyers. So there's the marketing team that at a publishing house, and there's also the ones who are selling to the bookstores. And they know what the bookstores want. If they go to the bookstores and they say, we're coming out with this book in the fall, and I've actually heard a story like this, we're coming out with this book in the fall, and here's what it's called, and here's the cover, and they have had book buyers, like at Barnes & Noble, say, I won't buy that book with that title. You have to change the title to this, and then I'll buy it. And you know what happens? The publisher changes it.
Yeah, because that's like beta testing.
Well, and because the sellers know what will sell. The book buyers know what will sell. And they know when, you know, they look at something and say, that's just not going to work. And I've heard authors say, I really hated that because now my title isn't what it should be, and da-da-da. But so you get that whole benefit of a bunch of professionals looking at it. On the other hand, if you really want control over your book, then that's not the system you want to use. But even with that system, you have to help sell your book. Make sense?
Yep.
And that's why you have to have that marketing plan. And doing that initial work that we talked about knowing your market, is going to help you come up with your marketing plan, as is your platform building. Because your marketing is built on your platform. Make sense?
Yes,
yep.
And that's why we're in this course. To move from being happy writers to successful business people.
Right. All right, so let's talk, if you don't have any questions, then let's talk a little bit about the writing. Both of you seem to be pretty adept at writing, but there are two things I want you to remember. Well, two things I want to talk about. One is how I've prepared you to write a bestseller, or to read, maybe it won't be a bestseller, but a book that sells an above average number of copies. And we talked about that early in the course, that the average book sells about 250 copies per year, and e-books only like 560 per year. So this course prepares you to do better than that by crafting a marketable idea. Also by teaching you how to build platform and the marketing plan, the whole business plan, all of that put together. And branding and everything we talked about. However, as you write your book, you have to keep in mind that focus on the reader, not on the writer. And I know that I went over the writing guide with you guys that's in author training manual, where you, when you sit down to write, you read your overview and your, you know, which has your pitch in it and the list of benefits, so that you're reminded of what your book is about and what the benefit is to the reader. And if you have a mission statement, you read that. And then if it works for you, then you've broken out each chapter with the chapter summary at the top of the Word document. And so each chapter is in a different Word document. And what I do is I actually break those chapter summaries down into bullet points, and I write to the bullet points. And that keeps me very focused on what I said I was going to do to address my readers' needs and wants. Now, even for fiction, if you know what you're going to be writing and you're keeping your reader in mind, you can work the same kind of process. But you may have your own process, and that's fine. But the point really here is that you do all this work on the business plan, not to then just throw it away when you go to write. You want to keep it at the forefront of your mind. You want to get creative and write your book in a very creative manner. But every day, have a check at, you know, before and after you write to make sure that you've accomplished the goal of actually writing for your reader. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Does it make sense to you, Rolf, writing fiction as well?
Yes, it does. And this is some, as a writer and editor, this is something I'm continuously telling, reminding other people. Who are you talking to?
Right. Right. And then, since we're into the period where you're... Well, okay, so Rolf, I know you're working on your novel now. Mark, what are you working on at this point? I get confused. You have so much going on.
Yeah. The last couple weeks, I've just been putting together some audio materials to supplement the book. So I have not done any more writing on a new topic except for blogging, because I've been trying to put together the an audio course, actually two audio courses to supplement the book. So I'll get...
Okay, this is the book you already put up on Amazon?
Yeah, I just put it up on Saturday. So.
Okay.
I'm not promoting it yet. I'm trying to get reviews first and try that approach, and then I'll start promoting it once I get 5 to 10 reviews.
Okay. Okay, are you planning to write something else over the last part of this course?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I've got several different ideas and notes I put together. I just have to zero back in on which one I'm
okay.
going to do.
Okay. Okay, so for both of you, the Write a Short Book, the High Performance Writer course that's online, if you go and you register for it, at any given point when you register for it, it will give you a month of emails that come 3 times a week. The videos are on the site, but actually there's a form there for you to fill out, and it puts you into an email on an email list where you get these emails queued up. And once a week it'll say, go watch this video. And the videos, they were on another site, but now they're right there for you. And so when it says watch video 3, you can just go to the site and watch it, or you can watch the videos whenever you want. But in any case, that course came out of some work I did with Brendan Bouchard and other information I had on high performance. And I would just encourage you to go through it, and the emails will also support you. It has a lot to do with, I know, Rolf, you'll know some of this, you know, as a meditation teacher, but, it talks about meditation, and it talks about exercise, and it talks about taking breaks, something I'm not good at, but I try to do a better job at it. Every day I work at it to only sit at my desk for so long before I get up and take a break. You know, there are studies that show that, after 30 minutes, you really need to take a break, and that you will be more productive if you do so, and you'll be more productive if you exercise, and more productive if you drink more and, water. And
yeah,
you have to be careful what you're drinking.
Yeah.
Thanks for clarifying that.
Yes. But, as if you really want to increase your performance, I would recommend you take that course. I mean, it's there. You can take it at any time, but it's there, and this is a good time to be taking that. And then there is the...
which course that was again?
The High Performance Writer course.
Okay, I see it.
Yeah, and I'm very, you know, I'm very passionate about that sort of information, just about how we actually become higher performers. And so I was very excited to put that course together. And anyway, and then you also have, for this period of time, you have the How to Write a Short Book Fast, which, Mark, you're doing that. And then there's How to Write the Long Book Fast. And there's some really nice experts who have talked about how they their writing process and tips and tools for how to get your book written more quickly so that you're not it's not taking longer than it has to. And, Rolf, there is one person in there who writes novels very fast, Suzanne Lakin, who I interviewed.
Cool.
Oh, and I also interviewed James Scott Bell, actually. And he does fiction and nonfiction. Well, she does not fiction and nonfiction as well. But anyway, so both of them are very fast writers, and I think you'll enjoy that, to both of you.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, you so I just wanted to point those out. Do either of you struggle with getting your writing done?
I'm like streaky. I'll sit down and write and write and write, and then for several weeks, and then it's like I go into brain fry or dead or something and then take a break. So I know I need to get, you know, I talked to you about getting that system down. I'm not real pleased yet with where I'm at on that yet.
Okay. So it may be that you need to, that you just need to build it in. I mean, I'm a little bit like you. I go on streaks. I mean, I blog all the time, and, you know, I of course, with all the blogs I have, I have to, right? So every day, almost every day, I'm writing, but it isn't always on a book. And but if you're wanting to get a book done, you almost have to build that into your schedule and just say this, you know, make it a priority. Make it the first thing you do every day.
Yeah.
Which is very easy to not have that be the priority.
Yeah, it is. I find that my for me too, that it is easier if I spend like my morning for devotional time, you know, prayer time and all that, and then if I just get to writing right then it's much, much easier.
Good. How about you, Rolf?
Well, when I've been writing this fiction, it generally just really flows, and I've enjoyed that. And that's made it really a lot of fun. Plus, it's a fairly fun book, although some of the blogs are fairly serious. Still, it's even whether it's coming from humor or the heart, that flows for me. For the nonfiction book, it's more in my head, and I have a lot of notes. But I can't say I'm really writing it at this point. I know I can, but I think it's going to be more, since it's nonfiction, it has to be accurate rather than you know, flight of the imagination. So to me, that's a little more work. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think that probably most people feel that way, that nonfiction, what you're saying is nonfiction's more work, right?
Right.
Yeah. It takes more explaining, and that, yeah, I think novels, you know, you're telling a story, and it tends to be fun, and
fun, and nobody can say, well, no, he didn't say that.
Right.
Whereas if you're writing, you know, about Franklin Delano Roosevelt or something, it has to be accurate.
Right. Exactly. Right. So, yeah. But I think you have to remind yourself, especially in your case, that when it comes to the nonfiction, you have such a broad base of knowledge that you can actually, you know, it may not be the same as writing a book, but you have stories and you have knowledge,
yeah,
and you can write most of it off the top of your head.
Well, that's a beautiful thing. I'm really glad you said that, because I think you're right, and, you know, even this morning I was taking a walk, early morning walk, after I got up, and suddenly they're like, these three pages just came to me. I said, yeah, that's exactly how they should be, and it just came from my experience of teaching, not from trying to figure it out.
Exactly. And so if that's how you approach the nonfiction book, it will go just as smoothly and just as quickly and easily and be just as much fun. And you can, you know, what I always suggest is you just keep writing and you, you know, leave any blanks for the research you need or anything like that so that you don't stop the flow. Because you get in the
good
same
idea.
Kind of flow writing nonfiction that you do with fiction if you allow yourself to.
Beautiful.
So.
Nina, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
As I'm sitting here thinking about the whole writing process, I really enjoy writing the first draft, even the second draft. And what slows me down is then I, you know, go through it a couple times and then send it off to a lady who does the soft edit. And then going through it again, I start running out of steam, going through all those types of things over and over and over again. Have you got any tips on how to keep yourself motivated through that?
Yeah. When you say soft edits, what do you mean?
I don't have, you know, I write these shorter books, and I know there's, you know, professional editors who will go through and help you rethink how you wrote it and what do you mean by this and all that. The lady that I do this with just kind of cleans up grammar and goofy sentences and things like that. It's not, you know, that high-level editing. I don't have the income to pay for that right now with all these books, so...
Okay,
that's
so you're
what
doing,
I mean.
She's kind of doing line editing.
Yeah, I'm not sure the term. She cleans up, you know, mistakes in grammar and cross out a word here, there, doesn't make sense, and, you know, those kinds of things.
Right, so that's mostly line editing, and so the other editing is typically developmental editing.
Okay.
But, so when you get it, so... The thing is, because you don't have a developmental editor, you have to go through it more yourself.
Yeah.
But even with a developmental editor, it's tough. And I can tell you that, you know, I send, you know, with my publisher, I'll go through it two or three times, and then it goes off to, you know, I don't ponder over my stuff very much, let me tell you.
Yeah.
I go through it two times, maybe three. And it goes off. And, I mean, unless I have some readers or something, you know, who are going to read it for me. But even then, I don't like to have too many readers because then you end up having to go through everybody's comments and trying to incorporate them all. And, I mean, readers are good. But anyway, all of that makes the process much harder for you as the writer. But readers are good. I'm not saying they're not. But you do all that, and then, you know, I send it off to the developmental editor, and it comes back with all these questions and comments. Now, at that point, I typically am not too thrilled about having to do anything with it anymore because I want to be done. But because there are comments and questions and things to write or to change, that's a little easier because while you may be reading the whole book again, you're still looking for the places you have to do something, right?
Mm-hmm.
But by the time it goes through the line editor, it is very difficult because for me, by then, I've read it four or five times. It then comes back to me from the publisher one last time, and that is right before it goes to press. And I have to read it and actually write down, you know, page 5, paragraph 3, line 2, change this to that.
Wow.
And you can only do the ones that don't change the flow, you know, change the page flow. So if it's going to make, you know, page 3 go to page 4, you can't do that. So it has to be minor. But it's a very big job. So it is very hard to stay motivated to do that. I think the thing that makes me keep going is the part of me that – so there's one part of me that just wants to say – the hell with it, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I'll just say I read it and be done.
Yeah.
And then there's the other part that says, I really need to make sure that this is a book I'm as proud of as I can be.
Yeah.
And it's that little part of me that is a perfectionist who then reads it and says, oh, look at this little mistake here. I want it fixed. Right? So I think you have to – there's a I used to do work with people in a process called voice dialogue. And in voice dialogue, we talk about how everyone has a we all have different personalities within us. I mean, a lot of times we hear people talk about the inner child or the inner critic, but we actually all have lots of different personalities inside of us. We're not split personalities, but we just have lots of different personalities that come out in different situations. You can actually call on those different personalities. They're actually energetic. And so, like I said, I have a part of me that is a bit of a perfectionist. If I call on that part of myself, you know, who just is really unhappy when things are not perfect, at that moment, when I have to reread again, I actually will find myself quite interested in doing it. If I allow myself to be in the energy of, I'm lazy, you know, the lazy one who just doesn't really care, then that's where I'll be, and it'll be very hard. So it's making a very conscious choice about what you're bringing to the table in that moment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I'd say look inside yourself for that part of you who cares so much about producing the best quality work you can. Find that part that's inside you, and when it comes time to read it again, draw on that part of you who won't be happy to find an error.
Okay, thanks.
And see
that's
that
a very interesting perspective, Nina, and it rings a bell for me. A number of years ago, I was renovating a little farmhouse we were going to live in, and it was in serious, it needed serious help. Bad smells, everything, cracks in the wall. And Renee was away with her mother, and I'm not necessarily a deliberate, methodical, and persistent person, but I came up with this slogan, and there I am, you know, getting the mouse poop pee out of the cabinet or whatever, or sanding the floor. And I just kept repeating, I'm deliberate, methodical, and persistent. And then somehow I took pleasure in being that. And it was a first for me. So mm-hmm. I see what you mean, and I see how we can enjoy something we normally wouldn't by calling on that.
Great, yeah. It's really pretty amazing. My husband doesn't like to job hunt, and he did this voice dialogue work, and he used to call on his inner CEO, you know, so that he would show up feeling powerful.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah. So. All right. Anything
else
today?
And now the great thing is, having done that house and it ended up beautiful, I can call on that. And I do.
Right.
I feel, oh, man, this is just going to take. And, in fact, doing your exercises, I called on that.
Yeah.
Came in handy, and I still need to do more. But, yeah. Good. So thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. So let's see. Did we do everything I said we were going to do? Yeah. So we discussed the also the other thing that I forgot, and then I need to run, is I didn't really talk about book structure, but there are on the site you will find, I think it's in the along with the write a book short book fast and write a long book fast, and all those are in with one of them, there is a little ebook that all it really is some templates for how to structure a nonfiction book. And it's just a way to get started. So if you're looking to, you know, start on a new project and you are looking for some structure, you might take a look at that and see whether it doesn't help you or give you some ideas.
Yeah, I just clicked on it.
Yeah. So, all right. So between now and next time, you will both hopefully be writing and finishing up your business plans and looking at some of those courses. And if you want, next time I head down that we're going to discuss blogging and website essentials and business around a blog, but we have plenty of time to do that, the business around a blog. So maybe what we'll do is we'll take a look at some of the social networking sites if that's what you'd like.
Yeah, that'd be
that's
great.
That's where I feel least confident.
Okay.
Especially with Pinterest and all that. I don't know. I've got an account, but I don't know how to use it.
Okay. I can share my screen through Webinar Jam, so, you know, when we do the Google Hangout. So we'll see if we can get that to work, and if we can't get it to work, you know, in the first 10 minutes or something, then just we'll use the same phone number, and I will email you a link to do a screen sharing, and we'll just do it that way.
Okay.
All right. So I'll put that in an email, you know, the information. The link will come kind of at the last minute because it's something that happened. I do and I'm instantly given one when I'm using it. But I will send you the you know, the phone number and stuff again, or I'll put it on the Facebook page. Well, that's what I'll probably do is just put it on the Facebook page so that if the webinar doesn't work, you can just jump onto the Facebook page, grab the phone number, get on the phone, and then I'll get the link and I'll put that on the Facebook page too for the screen sharing, and it'll be a quick transition over.
Good deal.
All right.
Okay?
Okay, thanks, Nina.
All right, thank you. I'll talk to you guys in 2 weeks.
All right.
All right, go achieve some more inspired results.
All right.
All right, bye.
Bye.